pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it has happened to me a few times. The telephone rings, and the reception isn't good, especially when the person is telling you who they are. Since I missed that important line, all of a sudden, here's a person talking to me, and they know me, they know members of my family, and they know members of my wife's family, and I don't know who in the world I'm talking to. And as I shouldn't do this, but as I began to hit the panic button, I can't even concentrate on what they're saying to me. And finally, probably pretty rudely, I say, "Excuse me, who are you?" Once I know in my mind who I'm talking to, then I feel relieved. And of course, I'm a bit embarrassed that I was talking to my sister-in-law. But once I know who I'm talking to, then I can relax. I can actually concentrate on what she's saying to me. Well, if we know the identity of the person, then we can focus on their message to us. Jesus has a number of statements in our gospel reading that leaves his listeners confused as to what he's talking about. I know this, and we know this, from the way he responded in the passage itself. Some of his statements, they do understand, but some of them leaves them in the dark, and they're not following along or tracking by what he means by his statements and comments. And so my first point is Jesus' identity as the one from above. Jesus says in John 8:21, "Then he said again to them, 'I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come.'" What Jesus is referring to in John 8:21 is his going away after his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. The religious leaders were adamant after Christ's resurrection that he hadn't been raised from the dead. So much so that they invented a story out of thin air that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. And so Jesus reminds them ahead of time, where he is going, they cannot come. This is one of those statements they just don't really get. As he ascends to the heavenly glory to sit at the Father's right hand, Christ is able to save all those who trust in him as God and Savior. But for those who choose to remain in their own self-inflicted and chosen darkness, they will die in their sins and will not follow Christ into heaven. This is one of those statements that they don't understand. In fact, they find a bit baffling and confusing. And so in John 8:22, they verbalize this concern, questioning whether he's talking about hurting, killing himself. "You can't mean that, can you?" The Lord Jesus responds to their perplexing question by speaking about his origin. John 8:23-24 says this, "And he was saying to them, 'You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.'" Jesus' warning about them dying in their sins is connected to the Lord's statement, "Unless you believe that I am he." While there were sayings in this passage that the Jewish leaders did not understand, they readily understood what Jesus was talking about in this statement. Because by saying that I am he, it sounds awkward in English, like, complete the sentence, would you, Jesus? I am he what? I am He is referring back to Exodus 3, where Moses wants to know from God, what shall I say to the children of Israel who has sent me? And God identifies Himself as I am. Jesus here, by saying, I am He, is taking up the divine name, thus claiming to be God. And the Jews understood that. And so a principle in this passage, if you're not willing to hear and understand the clear statements of Jesus, you're not going to understand the further statements from Jesus. It's going to be like a little bit me panicking with my sister-in-law because I don't know her identity. Jesus reveals His identity, but if they're not willing to embrace that, everything else will seem in the dark. Rod Whitaker says in his commentary about these words in John 8, 23 and 24, quote, without faith in Jesus as God's divine Son who has come from above, they will die in their sins. By repeating this warning, Jesus is shining as the light of the world, revealing their true condition and its consequences, end of quote. And so Jesus refers to Himself as God. I am He. As I quoted in Exodus 3, 13 and 14, Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so Jesus is making this same claim that He is of the same essence and substance of God the Father. This form of the statement, I am, is throughout the Gospel of John. Previously, Jesus said about Himself in John's Gospel, I am the bread of life, in John 6. And in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. But here, by itself, I am He. Jesus is emphatic in saying, I myself am He. He is saying that He has no beginning. Thus, He is the self-existent one. From all eternity, He has no beginning and no ending. And He is claiming to be able to provide some aspect of redemptive blessing for His people. In this passage, Jesus also distinguishes Himself from God the Father because He says that He is sent from the Father in John 8, 26. John 8, 28, He says that He speaks that the Father taught Him. And in John 8, 29, that He always does those things that are pleasing to the Father. Jesus is not saying He is the Father, but He does have an eternal relationship with the Father. Jesus was sent by the Father, and the Father is ever present with Jesus. The sending of the Son by the Father into the world refers to Christ's incarnation as God the Son became flesh and took on our humanity and dwelt among us. The presence of the Father with the Lord Jesus is this ongoing eternal relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And notice that there is perfect harmony between the Father's will and what Jesus actually did. And that is what makes Jesus unique from all the rest of us. Jesus always, I underline that, always did the will of the Father. Not once was there a disconnection between the Father's will and what Jesus actually did. This is certainly pointing to Jesus' sinlessness, His perfect obedience to God the Father. And so Jesus is making a clear distinction between Himself and the rest of humanity. as we get up each day and go through our day, sometimes we do the will of the Father, and sometimes we don't. But Jesus always did the will of the Father, and he did that for us. Jesus is human, but he's also God. And it is a grave and life-threatening error to one's soul to think and judge Jesus as only being human. The ancient church, following the witness of the New Testament, confessed that Jesus was fully God, fully man, yet without sin. And so Jesus reveals this as the one from above. That brings me to my second point, which is the consequences of Christ's claims for us. Our Lord has repeated in John 8 the warning to the Pharisees not to judge him according to mere human standards. Now that Jesus has said about himself, "I am he," and that he is the light of the world, since he is speaking the truth about himself, we will be judged by Jesus by whether we accept, embrace, and truly receive, believe that he is God. If the religious leaders or anyone else among mankind continues to reject Jesus as Lord and God, they will die in their sin with the full weight of their guilt. The Pharisees and scribes thought that by renouncing Jesus as Jehovah God, they were doing the will of God. On the contrary, their refusal to acknowledge Jesus as the great I am will bring God's judgment. Human beings, apart from trusting in God's gracious salvation, are not neutral in their relationship with God. The only way to escape the judgment of sin and death is by believing in Jesus and who he claimed to be. Jesus speaks of sin in the singular in John 8:21, "You will die in your sin unless you believe that I am he." But it's also, as he goes on in John 8:24, a parallel statement with one difference. He refers to sins in the plural. And he's dealing with this same scenario that apart from me, you will die in your sin and your sins. I take sin in the singular to mean referring to the single and definitive sin of rejecting Jesus, God, and Savior. I interpret sins in 8:24 in the plural usage to mean all those individual acts of sin which come from our alienated and broken relationship with God. So whether you're talking about sin in the singular or sin in the plural, apart from faith in Christ, we are under God's judgment. Jesus in this passage is addressing who he is and the consequences that impact us, either for our salvation or our judgment. As Jesus goes on to teach in John 8:28, where he says, "So Jesus said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me.'" Lifting up Jesus has a double meaning of being lifted up upon the cross, crucified, but also being exalted and lifted up by his eternal Father upon the completion of his work for our salvation. His exaltation and glorification would be accomplished through his being lifted up on the cross. To the outward eye, to both Jews and Gentiles, crucifixion was nothing more than horrible torture, pain, and humiliation. If you looked at somebody suffering on the cross, you certainly would not think of, "Wow, isn't that glorious?" especially to the Jewish viewpoint, there was nothing exalted or glorious about crucifixion. It was the only horrible punishment for the worst of criminals. As the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23 says, "Cursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree." Well, Jesus became a curse for us in order that we might be reconciled to the Father and be counted as righteous in God's sight through the work of Jesus on the cross. So it's only through viewing the crucifixion through the revelation of God that we see something glorious, the glorious death of Jesus for our sins. John 8:30 ends with this note of how some responded to Christ's teaching, where it says, "As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him." Early in this gospel, we hear of people coming to believe in Christ at the miracle of the wedding in Cana. This faith was tested through the hard sayings of Jesus being the bread of life, and after that, many deserted him. The whole purpose of this gospel, as it records the miracles of Jesus, is with this purpose in mind. "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus has, in the clearest and most direct way, claimed to be God and the only way to have eternal life with God. The opponents of Christ asked good questions, but they were ignorant and separated from God because of their refusal to believe who Jesus said he was. I need to be clear here that the religious leaders and all who follow in their persistent unbelief do not lack intellectual understanding of Jesus' claims, but they refuse to believe that Jesus is speaking according to the truth, and that, in fact, he is speaking the words of truth about himself and his identity as God the Savior. So if we believe him, we have the hope of eternal life. If we cast his words aside, we will die in our sins. In the midst of some who were skeptical about Jesus, we also hear of those who truly hear, embrace, and believe upon Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so we hear both of these responses. May we be those who do not turn away in doubt and unbelief, but those who believe and trust in Christ for the eternal salvation of our souls and life with God. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you and give you thanks for the work of your Son on our behalf, who is life, death, and resurrection. Strengthen us to be faithful to you in the message of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that at the last we may come to eternal joy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.